a jerk. I'm just speaking honestly. Arrogant, self-righteous. I got it all together. I don't need none of this. And God's like, you wretched heathen. I should smack you down where you stand. And he did. Fortunately, it worked. I get it now, right? So let me read this from the Amplified Bible. I want you to get this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and custom, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself and to others what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in the plan and purpose for you. That's coming to the point where we understand integrity. He wants our mind, our heart, our soul, our body, all pointing the same direction. How many of you guys seen a man with his wife who doesn't know where he's going? Right? The wife says, oh, it's over there. The husband's like, no, it's this way, right? And I had one in front of me, and he swerved back and forth. She's pointing that way. He's pointing this way. And I just kind of waited. I said, they'll figure this out. And I just let them go back and forth across the street. Finally, they turned down the street, and I'm sure they were probably going the wrong direction because they had no clue where they were going. This is not what God is telling you. He is saying, I will give you perfect direction if you get your mind, body, soul, and spirit in one, in focus with Jesus Christ. Simple as that. I have to ask this question. How many lives are you living? Strange question, right? How many lives are you living? Do you have a church life, a school life, a home life? Right? You have the life you live with your friends outside. You have a life that you live with your kids. Are they all different lives or are they one? When I'm out with my friends, I may drop a couple F-bombs or something like that. But when I'm in church, oh, God forbid. Ooh, man, I put it on, right? I'm looking really good, right? When I'm at work, man, I am, they ask me to do something, I do it quickly. But at church, they say, hey, Brother Johnson there, could you come help? Oh, I'm sorry, brother, I got to pray about that. I'm not really, right? Is our life one, right? You understand where I'm going? This is integrity. That means our church life, our regular life, our work life, our life with our friends all looks the same. Nobody's going to walk up to you in the back of the mall and tap on your shoulder after you dropped an F-bomb and say, hey, I missed you at choir practice yesterday. Whoa, how embarrassing, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. All of them are supposed to be one. It is not till we come to terms with all these different groups pulling and pushing and trying us and fit us into their molds do we find ourselves free from the frustration that comes from trying to please every group around us, right? Because your friends might want you to behave a certain way if you've got the wrong kind of friends, right? And your church people, they want you to look straight-laced, right? They want you to, oh, come on, join the choir and come to the prayer meetings and do all those things, right? And at work, your boss is saying, I need you to work overtime. I need more from you. But with your wife, you're saying, oh, baby, you know I love you. I got to work late tonight, but I promise. And you know you're lying, right? You know whatever she's asked you to do, you're just kind of going to, hopefully it goes away. You know, you ignore her enough. And your kids are like, daddy, come to our game. Oh, baby, I'll be there. So who do you please at this point? You got your boss pulling, you got your wife pulling, you got your church pulling you. You got all these different groups pulling you because you're not integrated. And they'll pull you apart. I promise you they will. One thing to remember, especially as I was talking to men about this, their wives remembered them before they were married, how they lived their lives. So if all of a sudden now your life is different, with your kids, now that you got kids, than it was before you were married, you're being disintegrated. It may be a small 1% disintegration, but it's still the same. It's still pulling you in a direction you don't need to go. Only Jesus Christ and his redemptive and regenerational work on the cross can cause us to be completely integrated in our mind, our emotion, our heart, our spirit, and our action. An unsaved man, he can certainly have parts of him that you would say, oh, he's got integrity, right? He may run a reputable business, honest with the books, always giving more than is required to make his customers and suppliers happy. He may even attend all his children's athletic events, help them with homework, and put money aside for their college fund. He may even support community projects, feeding the elderly, sheltering the homeless, and giving to the SPCA. But he's currently having an affair with a business partner's wife. Right? All those other parts in our eyes look, wow, this guy's got it all. He's got what integrity, right? All these things are going the right direction. But this one is like going in opposite direction. Do our lives look the same? They're not supposed to be. If we are completely sold out to Christ, the integrity of who he is should have us focus towards the cross and the cross only. The desire to perform acts that communicate integrity is not actual integrity. It is actually disintegration at its best. The pieces look shiny and bright, but the whole of the person is in shambles. Because I can tell you one thing, this man's wife would have something to say about his integrity, right? Even if she's lying to herself, right? In her mind, she's opposing herself. She knows the truth. She knows he's a scoundrel. But in her mind, she's fighting it, right? Thinking, oh, he's faithful to me. She knows he's not a man of integrity, but maybe won't say it. Even if this business part, even if his business partners don't consider him having an affair with someone else's wife a lack of integrity, it still is. And the end result of this action will soon be that his children will have something to say about his integrity, plus the community around him. Because you can't watch a marriage fall apart and not realize that there's something going on there. It hurts all of us. I've been there. It hurts all. It hurts the people around me, hurts your kids, hurts your church. That lack of integrity wreaks havoc. True integrity is not what you do, it's who you are. Then your actions come from your character. Luke 6, 43 through 46, for a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, nor does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Isn't that what integrity is about? Calling him Lord and standing firm in that, regardless of what anybody else does around you, regardless of what your how your boss is pulling you. Hey, I need you to come to this, which I had a friend of mine, Aaron, and his wife. This company, which was supposed to be a Christian company, kept trying to pull her to these events that were corporate events, Christian company, I did say that, right? Where they're drinking and they're smoking drugs. But they're saying they're a Christian company. They've got devotions going on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you had to be there for a devotion, but then they do these outings, and it's completely different. What kind of integrity? Would you want to do any business with this company? No, why would you? Nothing worse than somebody who's drugged out and drunk trying to work a business deal, right? That is not integrity. Bombs are designed to just disintegrate. That's what they're there to do. They're there to obliterate whatever comes in their range. Homes are not. Right? You got it? Homes are not. That's mainly who we are. That's supposed to be how we stand, is in our homes. The work life is not supposed to affect who we are as much as that home life. Right? If this is where I'm getting my information and I'm growing my kids to be godly kids, this is the same place I need to be using that godly information to make sure that my boss doesn't pull me in a direction that says, hey, I need you to do this. I know it's a little shady, but don't worry, it'll be all right. No, I told my kids don't lie on their tests. Why would I lie? That doesn't make sense to me. It's like, no. Well, you know, we'll have to fire you. It's like, knock yourself out. If that's what you got to do, do it. But I'm not going to tell my kids don't cheat on their tests. Don't lie to your mom. Don't lie to your sister. And then I'm at work lying too, right? That's not what home is supposed to be about. Homes were designed to be a relational haven for husbands, wives, and children, a place to find integration, not obliteration. Proverbs 4:20-27, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the treasures, the issues of life. Put away from you a froward, means a perverse mouth, and perverse lips. Put them far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot far from evil. All I'm getting to is integrity. All of it, bringing all of it together where it makes sense, going one direction. We know the Christian life is supposed to be the narrow way. Sometimes, for whatever reasons, we end up in the weeds. We do. We end up in the weeds and we're driving along the weeds. And if you don't have a good brother that comes along and says, why are you driving in the weeds? Oh, I'm fine here. The road's really nice here. But there's a paved road right there. What are you doing in the weeds? Well, if you think this road is fine, you're lying to yourself. You're not getting enough traction. You're not going the direction God wants you to go. And how many of you have driven a car in the dirt and spun it out? Yeah. Right? Right? That's what happens. You're in the dirt. All of a sudden, you step on the gas to try to get some acceleration. It's like, right? Because you're supposed to be on the paved road. Why would God pave the road for you and say, follow me, if he wanted you in the weeds? He wants you in the center of his will, focused singularly on doing what he's called you to do. He that walks, Proverbs 14:2, he that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he that's perverse in his ways despises him. This is an interesting one because I kind of looked it up, and we see that word despises him. He who is perverse in his ways despises him. And I had to think, is the him that we're talking about is despises the Lord, or is he despising himself? Right? Because it just says despises him. It doesn't give us any definition. And I know a Greek scholar would say, oh, you got to go back to the last noun or the last subject, which would be the Lord. But it's an interesting idea that a person is perverse in his way, not only despises himself, but could actually be despising himself too. Because he doesn't like where he is. But the problem with my mind opposing me is that I can't find peace. My integrity is gone, and I don't know how to get it back. And here's the one we've been waiting for. This is the money shot right here. Mark 12:29-31. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right? Shema, definitely. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment. Isn't that what we're trying to get to? I love the Lord my God with all my heart, most soul, mind, and strength. I put myself up on the altar. I'm okay dying there. Neil has said this so many times lately. What has the flesh ever done for you? What has the flesh ever done for you? It's done nothing for me. It wrecked my marriage. It left me almost homeless, well, houseless. But you understand, the flesh has never done anything good for you. It rips everything that you think is a promise out of your hands. You're like, this is going to work. You began in the spirit, now you're working in the flesh, and it rips everything out of your hand. And you're like, this sucks. And God's like, I told you no. Why didn't you listen to me? I've got the best plan for you. My plan for your future is absolutely amazing. We love Jeremiah 29:11. Why don't we read the couple verses after that? You will call on me, and I will answer you when you call on me with all your heart. Right? But we like the plans he's got for us, but we don't want to call. We're like, oh, the plans he's got for me, I'm going to work out his plan. He's like, no, sit down, shut up, call me. I will direct you exactly where you need to go. Pick up your cell phone if you got. Whatever you got to do, call him. On your knees, in your car, call him. Find out what he wants to do. The flesh has never satisfied you. It's never satisfied me. At one time, I wanted to be, and I was pretty good. I wanted to be a blues bass player. God told me no a bunch of times. I was like, it's cool, God. Hey, I'm working this out. I still go to church. I play there. I'm serving you there. And God's like, stop. I'm like, oh, God, you know, I really want to do this. And I was good because I was learning to play blues, jazz, funk. I was in 5 bands at one time. I'm not kidding you. I was in 5 bands at one time. Several blues band, a funk band that was gigging up in Hollywood. I'm going to give you one song, The Thrill Is Gone. Right? That song, if you play bass, bass plays on the backbeat. I used to sing that song on the front beat. Pretty difficult, right? If you try it, it's not the easiest song to play. God said no. He said no, but I kept going. He ripped my life apart. Why? Lack of integrity. It's going to disintegrate. It has to. It can't stay that way because God says, this is where I want you, and you got this little part spinning out here, right? Okay, could you guys put that last picture up, the spinning thing? And you guys are going to remember this. Some people aren't going to remember it. Many of you guys are. You guys remember that? Okay. Where was the safest place on this thing? The center, right? The center, right? Why? Because it's not moving as much. And I don't know if you had somebody who could really spin this thing fast, but we did. We had people who could spin this thing like crazy. If you didn't lock your legs around that bar, you're flying off, right? Disintegration, right? All you guys are on there, all of a sudden, boo, boo, boo. Kids are flying everywhere, right? But we loved it, right? We stand and we'd be like, oh, woo. Right? Get off, do it again, right? This is the typical idea of disintegration. If you don't get to the center of God's will, what's going to happen? You're flying off. It's all going apart, right? Amen. I've got a couple clocks. You guys know I like kind of crazy stuff like this, right? I got a couple clocks down here. And there's a saying that they say, a broken clock is right twice a day. Should our lives be right twice a day? Now I hear a lot of Christians who are right twice a day. They get blogs, they get record deals, they get all this stuff. They're right twice a day. Why? Because they're broken. Their integrity does not fit their Christian walk. But now I've got another nice clock here. So it's not broken, but there's no battery in it. So I can reset the time, and if I don't put a battery in it, we're still the same place. Right? We're still in the same place. It's gonna sit right there. Oh, I can set it to the right time. In a minute, it's off, right? But then I got a nice satellite clock here, right? Atomic clock. Now, we all love atomic clocks. Why? Well, we hate them and we love them, right? Because if you're running late, you hate it. You wish you had about another 15 minutes. But it's accurate all the time, right? Why is it accurate all the time? Why? Sam? It's getting signal from satellite, right? It's getting satellite signal from an accurate source. Huh. What accurate source do I need to be connected to keep my life accurate all the time? Right? Need I say any more? We can be a broken clock, disintegrated, falling apart, right? We see broken clocks, and I'm always amazed at people who keep broken clocks in their house, right? But it's such a beautiful clock, I can't throw it away. But the time is wrong. Every time I walk in your house, I look at the clock and I think it's like 6:30. It's 1:15, right? It's like I want to take the clock and just throw it out the window and say, I'll buy you a cheap, inexpensive $4 clock. At least it'll be right when you walk in, right? I need a source higher than me to keep me on track, doing what God has called me to do, walking the direction he wants me to go, without having my flesh in the way, wrecking everything I try to do. The only reason now I can do the things I do is because I surrendered all that. I said, God, I'm sick of my flesh running my life. I hated it. I thought it was going to be so great. I thought I was going to go places. I was going to travel the world playing bass. Instead, I'm traveling the world preaching the gospel. How amazing is that? On somebody else's dime on top of that. I got an inheritance. I had no bills. I can travel the world for my Savior because I got rid of the flesh dragging me another direction. And I said, Jesus, whatever you want, I will do. That is integrity. Amen. Mind, heart, soul, spirit, actions going the same direction without confusion. Amen. Let's pray. How amazing you are, Heavenly Father. You sent your son Jesus to be the perfect example of integrity. He always gave the perfect answer. It was never sarcastic or snippy in a way that we think it. It was always direct and to the point because he knew the will of his Father. He never compromised that. He even says he will always and only do the will of him that sent him. Heavenly Father, help us to do the same thing. Always and only do the will of he who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we could show the world through your work in us that they would glorify our Father in heaven because we've decided to live a life of integrity, not letting the different pieces of who we are be jumbled and jagged and flying all over the place, but one life, our home, our church, our business, our kids, our wife, all focused on always and only doing the will of God. How amazing. But we know we need the power of your Holy Spirit to do this. We can't accomplish this on our own. We've tried it in the flesh as the Galatians did, and he called us fools. Are you so foolish? We don't want to be there again. We need you, the power of your Holy Spirit, to guide us and direct us into all truth, that we may live lives of integrity, fully integrated, not a fraction, not a mixed number, singularly focused on doing your will. So even now, be exalted in our lives. For all this, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to have a time of communion. So kind of challenging, but this is something we need to deal with. I had to deal with it. My life got to go into shambles before I got it right. If that's something you need to deal with, just, that's what the body of Christ broken for us and his blood poured out for us. That's what he's calling us. That's what he decided to do for us, to make us whole again. So take this time. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy who he is, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. All right. All right. I'm going to leave you with one last scripture. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious. So I pray that this week you will be singularly focused on the person, character, and glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.